could end 1 week later than we thought.
Oh.
There's so much stuff, and
it could keep going.
Yeah,
could,
exactly.
I bet there's even more stuff after that.
There is, but you know, I don't want to.
All those books.
Yeah, I don't want to make people too encumbered, but I think we can go 1 more week certainly. Okay.
Where are we?
Going to be on page 15. I know we're skipping. We can always come back, but I want to do this. So it's in the main packet, page 15, and this is. We have two topics here that we could talk about. Maybe we'll get through one, maybe we'll do both, maybe one and a half. But the topic is women in Kiddush. But of course, we're going to do it in a way that we follow the process of halacha, not only the content, but the system, the process. But the question is, are women obligated in Kiddush? Can they be motzi, a man, meaning can they fulfill an obligation on behalf of a man? So that's the overall question, and we'll see. It's a fun topic. So the Gemara says, we start with Gemara. It's in Brachot, which makes sense, right? Which is in the Zra'im part of Mishnah and Gemara, the first part of Mishnah and Gemara Zra'im. It's the first Masechta in all of Gemara. So top of the page, Amar Rav Ada Bar Ava. Rav Ada Bar Ava says, son of Ava, Nashim Chayavot B'Kiddush Hayom. Women are obligated in Kiddush. I know it sounds like the day Kiddush, but it really means the Kiddush of Shabbos, or Kiddush, to sanctify the day of Shabbos. Devar Torah, on a Torah level. Women are obligated, not just rabbinically, but even from the Torah, they're obligated in Kiddush. It doesn't say to hear Kiddush or to make Kiddush, but they're obligated in Kiddush. So the Gemara says, second line of the page, the Gemara says, am I? Why would that be? Why would women be obligated in Kiddush? Mitzvah Aseh Shazman Grama. It is, of course, a positive time-bound mitzvah. And V'chol mitzvot aseh, page 15, Shazman Grama, Nashim Pitzurot. Women are generally, I'm sure we've all heard this, they're exempt, page 15, from positive time-bound mitzvot. You know, tzitzit, tefillin, you know, positive time-bound mitzvot. So why would women be obligated in Kiddush? It's time-bound, it's positive. So the Gemara gives the first answer on the third line of the page, Amar Abaye, Midrabanan. It's only rabbinic. Right? So technically they're not obligated, but the rabbis came along and said that they should. What's the problem with that?
The Ford said it was from the Ford.
Yeah, right, it already said Devar Torah. So have your cake and eat it too. But earlier, right on the first line, it said Devar Torah, that it's a Torah obligation. So why are you telling me it is a rabbinic obligation? So the Gemara has a new answer. The fourth Hebrew line. Amar Le Rava. Rava says back, Abaye and Rava were colleagues, third generation of, actually the fourth generation of Amoraim. So Rava says, no. V'had Devar Torah Ka'amar. You said it's a Torah obligation, so don't tell me it's rabbinic. V'od, and also, Kol Mitzvot Aseh, Nitzchayavnu Durabanam. They're obligated to do all rabbinic mitzvot. So if it was only rabbinic, you wouldn't need a special line of the Gemara to tell me that they're obligated in it, because of course they'd be obligated in it, right? Because they're obligated anyway in all rabbinic mitzvot, even if they're time-bound. So why would you need to, what would be the novelty of that, right? If the reason they're obligated is because it's rabbinic, then it would be obvious anyway. You wouldn't need to tell me that.
I didn't know that there's a rabbinic time-bound mitzvot women are obligated in. What's
right, there aren't too many.
What is that?
Not sure. But
but they are in all of them.
Right, if there are, right? If there are, you can have all of them you want.
Okay.
anything rabbinic? Well, we'll see Megillah.
Ah.
Yeah, Megillah would be one. That's what we're going to see. We're going to compare Kiddush to Megillah. So Amar Le Rava. So Rava has a new answer, the second to last line here. Amar Kra, that the pasuk says, Zachor Vishamor. Two psukim that talk about Shabbat. One says that you should remember Shabbat, Zachor. One says that you should observe or preserve Shabbat, Shamor, guard Shabbat. Mm-hmm. And we have an idea that Zachor is the positive mitzvot, like Kiddush and Avdalah, and Shamor is the negative ones, like don't separate, don't plow, things like that. Don't light a fire. So Kol Sheyeshno B'Shmira, all people who are obligated, included in Shamor Mitzvah, in the negative commandments of Shabbat, the negative mitzvot of Shabbat, the don't-dos, Yeshno b'zechira. They're also obligated in the positive things of Shabbat. You can't tell them, don't do these things, and they're not included in the positive things, because it's a package deal. Because it's, right, it's Shabbat. Shamo v'zachor. Shamo, right? They're all, Shabbat is a single entity. If they're going to be included in all the don't do this, don't do that, then they also have to be included, they are included, in the positive things as well at Kiddush. V'hai nashi, so these women, hani nashi, ha'wil v'idnehu b'shmira, since they're included in the negative commandments of Shabbat, the don't do's, itnehu b'zachira, they're also included in the positive commandments of Shabbat. Okay, so that's the Gemara. Right, that is the Gemara. Doesn't mention anything about the level. Sounds like an equal obligation. Right? Sounds like they have an obligation that's equal to that of men. So it doesn't matter who makes Kiddush. Right? Could be the man, could be a woman. Right? Whoever wants to make Kiddush. Right? Doesn't sound like there's any difference. They're both equally obligated. Min HaTorah. So at this point, it would be strange to come along and say that the obligation, or based on this, that the obligation is not on an equal level. Sounds like it's a very equal level. And that is what we'll see. Now, so far we saw that, if you were following in the top paragraph of the page, you saw that in a block print. But now if you look at it in the Gemara page, same Gemara, right under source 1, we have our letters that we talked about last week. So we have Amar, same Gemara, not going to do the whole thing. Amar Avada, it's the first line of the Gemara-looking Gemara. Amar Avada Barava, Avada Barava says, Nashim Chayavot B'Kiddush Hayom, and right before that, you see a little hey. All right, so that hey already tells us that what?
Halacha.
Right, that it is the halacha, that is in Shulchan Aruch or Rambam or both. And it also tells us where on the side of the page we can go to find out where it is to look it up. And that's exactly what we do. So I put that for you on the left. Hein mishpat ner mitzvah. And I made it easy. I cut out all the rest of them. You have the hey. And we ignore the lamed aleph. We go to the hey. Right? And it tells us my. What's my? Maimon, right? So that's Rambam. Right? My is Rambam. Maimon. Meaning Mishneh Torah. Right, the Rambam wrote the Mishneh Torah. The Mishneh Torah, Perek Yud Bet, May Hilchot, from the Halachot of, I'm going too fast, let me know. May Hilchot, Ayin Gimel is actually Avodah Zarah. It's a little funny. It doesn't sound like it would be in Hilchot, but at the end of Hilchot Avodah Zarah, or Avodah Gilulim, but Avodah Zarah, the Rambam starts talking about the ways in which Jews are different from non-Jews, and different kinds of Jews are different from each other, and levels of obligation, and it says women are not obligated in most positive mitzvot, time-bound positive mitzvot, other than Kiddush, so he mentions it there. He actually doesn't mention it in Shabbat, which is unusual. The Rambam's very orderly, but here he's not so orderly. He doesn't mention it. In Shabbat, he doesn't quite mention it. He mentions about everyone making Kiddush. He doesn't point out specifically, but maybe because he assumes when it comes to Shabbat, of course they are, right? Why he maybe in Shabbat, he assumes I would have mentioned it. He would have mentioned it if they weren't obligated. He doesn't have to mention it because they are obligated. But he doesn't mention it in Shabbat specifically. But he mentions it in Avodah Zarah, of all places. So it says, my Rambam Perek Yud Bet. Yeah.
So this Ayin Yud Gimel?
Exactly. Ayin quotes Gimel.
Is that an abbreviation
yes.
for Avodah Zarah?
Exactly.
Avodah Lulim. How do you know that? I
mean, so that's tricky. That got me too. As a matter of fact,
it's a Gimel, not a...
I know, not a Zion, because what we call Avodah Zarah, it used to be called Avodah Gilulim, which means the same thing anyway. So this is a tricky one.
Is there some kind of little chart that follows?
Yeah, the newer Rambams have in the front inside cover a list of the, the titles.
Oh, right.
But this is a tricky one. Usually it just says Shabbat, that's easier to figure out. Mm-hmm. But this one, an hour ago I was flipping through, I knew it was Avodah Zarah, I didn't even know where that was. Flipping through trying to find this.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, it's a little bit of... usually you have to open a couple of volumes of Rambam before you find that section. Because the Rambam has 14 sections, and each of them has lots of subsections. This is a subsection. So the most helpful thing for the Ein Mishpat to have done always would be to say, Sefer Ahava, which is one of the 14, which is on the binding, Ahava, and then say, may, you know, Hilchot Avodah Zarah.
Oh, because this doesn't really give you, this assumes you know.
Yeah, this assumes you know that Avodah Zarah is even in Ahava. So there's usually a little flipping around there. It's not
how
super
easy.
How
many years does it take to know?
No, you open a few volumes. Well, you narrow it down. I mean, I was looking at the set, and I was like, well, I know it's not in... you know, Zmanim, I know it's not in Kinyan about acquisitions. You know, you...
Oh, I see. You can narrow process it down.
Process of
yeah.
elimination.
Process of elimination. I was like, well, maybe it's an Ava, because that's about love of Hashem, of Avodah Zarah. I tried actually Shoftim first, you know, judgments. That's a little bit of guess and check there. But anyway, Hilchot Avodah Zarah, but usually it's a little bit easier if it's Shabbat. Halacha Gimel. Okay, so that one we're actually not going to look up, but he says pretty much what the Gemara says. We'll skip the next few words in the Ein Mishpah because it's the smog. Nobody learns the smog anymore, save for mitzvot gedolot. But then we have Tor v'Shulchan Aruch. See the Tet Vav Shin Ayin? We're on page 15.
Where is it?
Where are we?
So the Tet Vav Shin Ayin in the Ein Mishpah. There you go. The beginning of the third line of the Ein Mishpah. Tor v'Shulchan Aruch.
Yeah.
Right. Tor v'Shulchan Aruch. So what's Och?
What's Och?
Yeah. What would Och be?
The next thing there.
Right after. Right, so Tor v'Shulchan Aruch. And then after.
No.
No.
That's. What
are the four set? What's the first section of Shulchan Aruch?
Or
there you go. So Tor v'Shulchan Aruch. The beginning of the third line of the Ein Mishpat. Tor v'Shulchan Aruch. See Sarah?
Mm-mm.
No? Okay, so show Sarah.
It's the first word of the fourth line.
Right. Yeah, I think I said that.
One, two, three.
Tor v'Shulchan Aruch.
This Tor?
Yeah, Tet Vav Shin Ayin, Tor v'Shulchan Aruch.
Yeah, it looks like an Ayin Vav, but it's not.
It's a problem that it's in Rashi's
script.
Oh, okay.
Is it always in Rashi's script?
I think so. No. The newer Gemaras don't have it in Rashi's script.
And where's Shulchan Aruch?
The Shin and Ayin.
Oh, that's the abbreviation.
Right.
Okay.
Tor v'Shulchan Aruch. Because remember, the Tor and the Shulchan Aruch have the same numbering.
Thank you.
Right? The Tor and the Shulchan Aruch are the same order, same chapters. Shulchan Aruch is a shortened version of the Tor.
Oh, so that's an acronym for Tor v'Shulchan Aruch.
Exactly. Tet Vav Shin Ayin, Tor v'Shulchan Aruch. Because the Tor and the Shulchan Aruch are the same numbers. They're the same chapters. Because the Shulchan Aruch is just a short version of Tor. Och is Orachayim. Siman, chapter Resh Ayin Aleph, that's 261. So chapter number 261, Seif Halacha number Bet. Right? Okay, so now we've decoded that.
So that's interesting that that's much more helpful than the reference for
the Rambam. Yeah. The problem with the Rambam is they should give the book it's in, not just the some book. Okay, so we're going to look that up, and it's right here below us, below that on the page. Now I guess, yes.
It's amazing how well
it's spoiled.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. So I gave it to you two ways on purpose. The shorter block, the first block, which is like four lines or three lines, that's Shulchan Aruch as it appears on the page of Mishnah Berurah. Right? Why were we able to use Mishnah Berurah?
It's the first.
Because it's an Orachaim. It's about Shabbat, right? That's an Orachaim. It's a Mishnah Berurah topic. Great. Then I gave you the Tor below that. The truth is those are out of order. The Tor came first in history.
On
the bottom...
The Tor is in the bold?
No, the Tor is on the bottom block of the page. That's all Tor. So we're going to compare them. We're going to compare the Shulchan Aruch, which is the shorter block, right, which is block print. And we're going to compare that with the Tor, which is the bigger block right there. Right? Tor is below it, even though Tor would really be first.
And remind me...
Yes.
Yeah.
With commentaries.
And the bold in the Shulchan Aruch there is...
In mine, that's just to point something out. That doesn't mean anything.
Okay. It's not like in the...
No, not at all. That was just That was just to point something out.
Okay.
But I'm comparing the... Yeah.
The Kishayavo with the red arrow.
Exactly right. So the arrows are pointing to where the same thing is in Tor and Shulchan Aruch. Okay, so the Shulchan Aruch begins. Yes, you see where, right? The Shulchan Aruch begins, the smaller block with the arrow. Right?
Okay.
Yeah? Kishayavo leveto, when you get home to your house, it's a Shulchan Aruch, it's Yosef Cairo, there's no Ramah here. Kishayavolaveto, when you get home on Friday night, imaher lechol miyad. You should immediately start your meal. You should start your meal right away. Okay. So the Shulchan Aruch is a shortened version of Tur and Beit Yosef. Remember, the Beit Yosef is the commentary on the Tur by the author of the Shulchan Aruch. So let's see the Tur. Red arrow, right? The red arrow connects the Shulchan Aruch and the Tur. The Tur begins. Ukisheya volaveto, and when you get home to your house, yimaher leachol miyad, you should start your meal quickly. Sounds familiar. Ditanya, like it says in a Braita, this is not familiar. Zachor et yom haShabbat leKadsho, you should make the day holy, sanctify it. Zachrehu al hayayin bechnisato, you should remember Kiddush, you should remember Shabbat by making Kiddush over a cup when Shabbat begins. So what's the difference between this Tur and the Shulchan Aruch that was a shortened version of it? What did the Shulchan Aruch leave out?
The reason why.
Right, which is typical Tur and Shulchan Aruch. The Tur says you should make Kiddush quickly because we have a pasuk that you should, right, and it gives a reason, quoting a Gemara, a Braita and a Gemara. The Shulchan Aruch cuts all that out. Right, the Shulchan Aruch just says, make Kiddush quickly. Why? Got to check the Tur. Right, so the Shulchan Aruch doesn't give the reason.
Wait.
Right? The Tur.
How do you know that?
How do I?
Everything out. Because
we're
looking at the size of the paragraph?
No, we just read
it. He's saying there's more words down here than
there
are
that's
up there.
Because,
yeah, I realize.
Because
that.
The Shulchan Aruch. Because if you go back up to the Shulchan Aruch, you're already starting Halacha Bet.
Right.
And he hasn't discussed the reason, because the Shulchan Aruch usually doesn't give the reason.
Where's this?
Where's Ben?
Off to Lekadsho.
Lekadsho.
And then
there's a couple letters pointing
to
commentaries. Zochrehu al Hayayin, you should remember Kiddush.
Before that, where's the reference to this?
Oh, those letters?
Yeah.
Oh, those letters go somewhere else on the page.
No,
I didn't get it.
What's the difference between these two?
Oh, nothing.
Shulchan Aruch.
This is, I just gave it to you in text.
In text.
Yeah.
The first five words up here, the Shulchan Aruch, are five or six words,
right.
And then the same five or six words were down here.
Right.
But it was a whole bunch more words after that with the reason.
Right.
That's all he did.
This
is a boy's answer. This is a girl's answer.
Oh, I would have said that's interesting. I would have said the opposite because girls in Gemara will often say, "Why do we need all these reasons? Just tell me the final answer." But that's true also.
Yeah,
women like
talking
about
day
to day.
Yeah.
The red arrow is
what's
interesting.
The
story?
Right.
Right. How
in
would
the,
you
the
did you feel?
You
when
you I'll show you.
So that's missing from
were
a little
were you in
tiny.
Too
right.
much of a hurry?
These are the same.
I
right.
shouldn't generalize.
You know, you should make
it as
quick as you get home. The Tur says the same words, but then the Tur says
it's
like it says in the Braita,
it doesn't give
you
a lot of
information.
I have a boy who gives
over wine
a lot of
information.
And then I have a boy who
does it. Which makes sense, because the Shulchan Aruch is not meant to give reasons. He's meant to tell you the final halacha, and you could look it up. Okay, now, back to halacha bet in the Shulchan Aruch. Halacha bet in the Shulchan Aruch.
Which is really what we're...
Yeah, exactly. This is our main thing here. This is for us. Nashim chayavot bekiddush. Women are obligated in kiddush. Af al pi, even though Shehu mitzvat asei shazman grama, even though it is a positive time-bound mitzvah, perush meaning mitzvah asei hatzuliyah bezman, meaning a positive mitzvah that depends on time. Right. So the blue arrow, but in the Shulchan Aruch, right? That women are obligated in Kiddush didn't say why. We saw the Gemara, we know why, but he didn't say why. Now let's see the Tur. Right, so the blue arrow pointing down to the Tur. Notice the Tur doesn't say halacha alef halacha bet. Newer Tours do, but Tur didn't have the idea of halacha numbers.
So how did you know that?
So it looks like it's on Gimel.
Not that Gimel. No, that's pointing to a commentary.
Yeah.
That little Gimel is not.
Oh, okay.
Well, if you learn both, you start seeing how they're what's based off of what. What's similar to what. So that was the Shulchan Aruch's version of halacha bet. Follow that blue arrow down to the Tur on the bottom of the page. Ve'echad anashim. Actually, yeah. Ve'echad anashim. Ve'echad anashim. Chayavot pekiddush hayom. Okay. Now he goes on to what will be halacha gimel later. So, but there, Right? So then he goes on to another. He goes on to another topic. Tzur goes on to right. But there's a problem, because if you go back up to the Shulchan Aruch, I was wrong. He didn't finish Halacha Bet in the Shulchan Aruch. I went down too quickly. Go back up to Halacha Bet in the Shulchan Aruch.
Mishum.
Yeah, Mishum, which is unusual, uh-huh. Because the Itkash Zachor L'Shamor, because we connect Zachor and Shamor, positive mitzvot, negative mitzvot, the Hani Nashi and women, Hawil V'Idnu B'Shmira, since they're included in the negative mitzvot, Idnu B'Zachira, they're included in the positive mitzvot. Okay, nothing unusual, really, except that it gives a reason, which is strange. Umotziyot et ha'anashim, and they can, this is Shulchan Aruch talking, and they can be motzi men, they can fulfill the obligation of men in Kiddush, ho'il, since, v'chayavot mina Torah k'motam, since they have an equal obligation like them.
Does everybody accept that?
Well, we'll see. We'll see. We're not done, but that is Shulchan Aruch. So we're going to see.
Just take things out of context and then apply them in our daily
lives. Right, we'll see.
Just believe everything you read.
Well, Shulchan Aruch, but we'll see. It's pretty much, yes, but...
So like Megillah reading?
That's what we're going to see. Good, we're going to compare it to Megillah's, is that we're going to see. We'll see.
But, oh yeah.
If they all know other men,
now,
then you could probably talk.
Now, what makes it the only Shulchan Aruch, that's pretty reliable. The problem is the Gemara never said that. All right? And the Tur, we already went down, the Tur doesn't say that. Hmm. So where is he getting that from?
Well, it's got Dalet and Hay.
Well, true.
Dalet, right?
Right. The Dalet is not pointing to the Be'er HaGola.
No.
That Dalet is a commentary, I think. Well, actually, we are going to see that Dalet, because that's Mishnah Berurah. We'll see that in a minute. Mm-hmm. So there's two ways we can figure out where he's getting that from. One would be the Be'er HaGola, which is on the side. It tells you where his sources are. What's the other one? What's the other way to know where the Shulchan Aruch is getting it from? What else did...
Green Arrow?
What else did he write?
What else did he write?
What?
All the reasons.
Right, where did he write that?
In the Mishnah Berurah.
No, it's later. He wrote the Beit Yosef on the Tur.
Wait, who's he?
Rav Yosef Cairo.
Okay.
Right?
I'm sorry,
No, you're good. So the same person wrote the Shulchan Aruch, which is a shortened version of the Tur, and it's also a shortened version at the same time of the Beit Yosef, which is his own commentary on the Tur.
Oh, right.
So if we're not sure where he's getting it from, he'll probably tell us in the Beit Yosef.
Well, where is this here?
The Beit Yosef is right there. So this is Tur, Beit Yosef. Yes, the Shulchan Aruch is a shortened version of the Tur and the Beit Yosef together. So we could either see the Be'er HaGola to see where he's coming from, or we could see the Beit Yosef in his commentary on the Tur. He'll tell us where he's getting. He adds in halachot that the Tur doesn't say, and he tells us where they're from. And that's exactly what we're going to do. So the Be'er HaGola, on the side of the page, the middle of page 15, right? See Be'er HaGola, and you see there was a bet at the beginning of Halacha Bet in the Shulchan Aruch. There was a little bet. And the bet over there tells us brachot chaf. Gemara brachot page chaf. We learned Gemara brachot page chaf. It wasn't there. Most of that was there, but the line about being motzi men is not there.
How do you know it's bet though? Because in after bet you've got gimel. You say that it's supposed to be the one closest to what they're saying? So
yeah.
Shouldn't it be dalet?
No, because they all point to different things. That Dalet is the Mishnah Berurah Dalet in this edition. So that matches up. If you saw it on the page, you see it matches up with the Mishnah Berurah on the bottom of the page. That's right.
Yeah.
I'll show you exactly what we mean.
That's
a little less.
Reish, no, you're good. That's why we're doing
no,
this.
I mean, like, what? How would I know to choose the bet?
I'll show you. Because... Sorry to people listening online. because it's whatever matches up with each. The Dalet, in parentheses, which looks like that, matches up with the Dalet in parentheses.
Okay.
Okay. Right? So that's a match.
Okay.
What
and
book
with
is that?
The Mishnah Berurah.
And where's the bet?
And the bet
it's different.
Matches up with right.
It's like on top.
Exactly. It's in the air. So the Be'er HaGola, which sends you backwards in time to where his source is, usually those letters are right before the halacha starts.
And they're not in brackets.
Right, no brackets.
And it's
small
on top.
It's not in Rashi script, no parentheses, it's just a letter.
So you said, okay, so it's there, it's Bachot,
right.
But we didn't find it in
right.
Bachot, so we need to go to the Bet Yosef?
Right. So that, right, so yeah, that page of Brachot is there, meaning most of that is in Brachot, but not the part we were curious about. So really, there should be another Be'er HaGola here that says where it's from, but it's missing. So the Beit Yosef helps. So we go to the Beit Yosef. And I gave, oh, actually, you have the Beit Yosef. So you can do one of two things now. It's up to you. On the bottom right of the page, so you have Beit Yud.
Is that Beit Yosef?
That's Beit Yosef.
Bottom,
see, bottom right, Beit Yosef. Or if you prefer to see it in regular print, you could look at source 4. Either one will work. Source 4 in the packet, or you can look on the right.
Wait,
same thing.
Source page 4?
The bottom
the next,
right.
The next page.
Page
16, source 4.
So you could look at source 4, or you could look at the bottom right of the page, Beit Yosef, the bottom, the left, last little paragraph, whichever one you want.
Is it near
the Ve'achad, yeah, exactly.
Oh,
so
it's here. Yeah.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Right, so it's going to be actually that one.
Here,
the very bottom, Ve'achad. So what people want to see it on in the original.
So how do you find it?
You don't trust me.
Let's say, okay, so like you looked in the Be'er HaGola and
right.
Okay, it's not there, okay. Okay,
right.
Let me look at the pictures. How do you know where it is in the pictures?
That's because it's
the
this
paragraph
is,
you mean?
Well, because this is the, relevant
same thing.
Tour. Same paragraph of tour.
So I go to the same place.
Right.
And
then right on
I
side.
Look at the Beit Yosef.
Yeah. And then there
and
it
then
is.
And then I kind of find it.
Yeah. Then you exactly. Bechad
okay.
Anshim, Bechad Anshim, scan a little bit.
Okay.
You mean
and there
you
it
just
is.
Read it so you get the part that
exactly
makes
right.
Sense with the other.
Exactly right. V'echad Anshim and V'echad Nashim, Chayavot B'kiddush Hayom. Right. Oh, that's helpful, right?
Yeah.
Where is it? Now I can see where he's getting this from.
Where did you
read
Rashi's
script?
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But there were different words that you just said.
No,
Ve'echad
Anshim, V'Nashim.
Chayavim
b'kiddush hayom.
Okay.
Right, men and women are obligated in kiddush. Klomar, meaning to say. So he's quoting the Torah. That's a quote from the Torah. He's a commentary on the Torah. Klomar, meaning to say, the afal p, even though.
That's
shahu,
my favorite acronym.
Knows on knows on that.
Know what it is.
Knows on that. knows on knows on math. Knows on back. The afal p. Shehu mitzvah aseh shezman gram, even though it's a positive time-bound mitzvah, period, invisible period. So v'taiman, the reason mifurash is explained beperek mishemeto in the Gemara that we saw above. We learned that Gemara. So the reason is there. Mishum di'etkash zachor l'shamor, because we connect positive mitzvot, negative mitzvot, v'hani nashi, and these women, ho'el v'tnu v'shmir yadnu v'sechir, women are obligated in the negative commandments. Okay, no surprises yet. V'katav b'kolbo, and it is written in the kolbo. The kolbo is a Ashkenazi Rishon. Could look up. I meant to look up the exact dates that he lived, but he's a. I'll look it up right now. But the kolbo is a Rishon. So we mentioned that there are Ashkenazi Rishonim who wrote like a single book about halacha. So the kolbo. To see if I can get the exact dates. If not, I'll email you. Here it is. Kolbo Sefer. 1490 to 1519, really. Wow.
Where did he live?
Where did he live? Once. That sounds funny.
You said 1490 to...
That's unusual.
29 years.
That's unusual, but let me say it's in Hebrew. Sefer halacha shenichta b'tzkufa rishonim, nitpas l'rishonim b'in pali b'shonim. Oh, I'm sorry. The Gemara, that book first came out in 1490, and then it was printed in 1519. But so he lived in the late 1400s. Omechaber ha-sefer... we don't know who wrote it. I didn't know that. The author is unknown. So we don't know who wrote it.
So then why is it such a... People could go by it if they don't know who it was.
It was...
yes.
Well,
what
about the
Dunes?
So no one knows who he was or where he lived.
Well, where he lived, I'm looking right now. Kushta, let's see. Kushta.
Three different opinions. Joseph Carroll.
Really?
Aaron Ben Yaakov HaKohen.
He was Sephardi.
According to Steinsaltz, a certain Shemaria Ben Sephardi.
Nippoli. It says here Nippoli. Where is that? In Kushta? Where are these places? Constantinople. All right, so maybe it was Sephardi. My mistake. Actually, that makes more sense, because anyway, the Shulchan Aruch is quoting it. Okay, so he's a Sephardi, late 1400s, late 15th century work on halacha. And the Shulchan Aruch is quoting him as saying, Shemotziot et ha'anashim, that they can be Yotzei the men. This is right. This is what we needed. That they can be Yotzei men in Kiddush. So the Gemara never said that. The Torah never said that. But the Shulchan Aruch said that. And of course, the Beit Yosef, same person, says that. But now we know that it is. Right, now we know that he got it from the Kolba.
But the Kolba's not really a Rishon in the 1400s.
No, 1500 was the beginning. Well, that's a late Rishon. But the Shulchan Aruch, we assume 1500 is the beginning of the Achronim. But that's when Yosef Karo.
And if you want to go further back,
mm-hmm.
Where did he get it from?
Ah, let's see. Let's see the Kolbo. Source 5. So he quotes the same stuff we've seen.
It's it's all got to go back down to the Torah, right?
Well, some things begin places.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's an assumption. He says that,
uh-huh.
You know, he's reliable, and he says, I think this would be true, because why not? So let's see what he says, actually. Slightly different than we've said until now.
Wait, who is number 5?
This is the Kolbo. This is the unknown author, Sephardi.
Oh, the Kolbo.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right, the Kolbo, source 5. We'll skip the first few lines. We've seen all that already. V'isha hayodat l'kadesh, the word's bold, and a woman who knows how to make kiddush. L'kadesh, she should make kiddush. Mekadeshet. Isha hayodat l'kadesh mekadeshet. A woman who knows how to make kiddush should make kiddush. V'imlav, and if she does not, Mikadshin la, then someone else, I guess a man, should make kiddush for her. Wow, so it sounds like it's even ideal that she would do it, right? Almost
yeah.
Assuming everyone, but that's assuming everyone at the table is making kiddush anyway. If everyone at kiddush, if your minhag was that everyone at your table is making kiddush, then there's no difference whether you're a man or a woman.
Right.
Nowadays, generally, because that's why we still say, Do you want me to be Yotzei? You want to make your own Kiddush? And everyone says no, right? So if someone actually said yes.
When these guys are over.
So the woman could say yes, too.
There you go. Right at that point, a woman could say yes if she wants to.
Can I tell
you what? We'll not be asking anymore.
Don't ask, don't tell.
Secret set with us.
It's all on the tape, though. So.
Oh, man. That was George. That was our friend George.
Sounds remarkably like.
Yeah. So, I don't know who it is. Some guy George is getting new this week. Beam. Okay, so that actually was not quite mentioned in the Shulchan Aruch, but the next thing is, Uvier HaRush Zal. He does quote somebody. This is not our Rush. It's not the Rambam Riff and Rush. It's just Reish Shin. I don't know who he's quoting. That would be Reish Aleph Shin.
Another anonymous.
Some other anonymous.
Okay.
Well, not anonymous. I'm not sure who he means.
Before him.
Yes, he lived before him. Whoever the. And I don't know who it is. The Rosh Zal, yes.
Rosh the Elder.
V'afilu lehotzi acherim, even to be yotzi, even to fulfill on behalf of other people their obligation. Yidei chovatam she'enon yodin lekadesh. If those other people don't know how to make kiddush.
Oh.
Oh.
But if they do.
If they do, then maybe not. So the Shulchan Aruch didn't mention that.
So better for a woman to say it fluently than a guy to struggle through it.
That's what he would say. Right? So the Kolbo would agree, if a man doesn't know how to say it anyway, then better to have a woman say it than to, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because then it's, I guess, because you'd say, well, then it's less embarrassing for the woman to say it than to embarrass the guy.
Maybe.
Well,
days.
It's still embarrassing because he's not saying it.
Yeah, because a woman's saying it instead of him.
Which implies that
that's the
teach
that's
him,
the
and
then
they say,
right. Right. So that so ostensibly this is the source for the Shulchan Aruch's innovation about women saying Kiddush on behalf of men, except sort of not, because this is where the Beit Yosef says I'm getting it from the Kolbo, And yet in the Kolbo, he says not quite exactly that. It says, if the man can't do it, then she should do it. He doesn't say that. It's not what the Shulchan Aruch says. In
the
fact,
Kolbo wouldn't be considered too obscure a source.
No, he's quoted a lot.
Cool.
Yeah, he's quoted in this kind of thing a lot. He's sort
it's
of,
just the other people he quotes that we don't read.
Well, I mean, he's not the Rif Rosh and Rambam, but he's quoted on topics like this.
Even though we don't know who he is, he's quoted a lot.
So, yes.
Oh, a woman.
Could be. Could be. That's right. Infiltrated the Masorah. Infiltrated the halachic process.
Because her husband couldn't do it. So
she right.
There's a novel there.
Yes. Okay, and then he goes on to another topic.
It's all factual.
Yeah. And then he goes on to something else. So not only does the Shulchan Aruch not say that detail, that it's only if the man can't do it, but he really says the opposite of that. He says, Katav, going back, Katav Bekolbo, in the Beit Yosef, Katav Bekolbo, it says in the Kolbo, Shemotziot et ha'anashim, they can be motzi men, they can say it for men, ho il, since, the chayavot bina Torah kamotam. They are on the same obligation.
Right.
If they're on exactly the same level, then why would the Kolbo say that it's only bidiyevet, it's only if need be, if the man can't do it?
Right. Why would there be that?
Right. Why would there be a rank? There would be only maybe, only yeah. Only sometimes.
You tell me I've got to do something.
Right. Right. The Beit Yosef.
It,
so the Beit Yosef is being more liberal than the Kolbo that he quoted.
Right.
But maybe he didn't have the same version of the Kolbo.
He's quoting him.
Maybe I'd say.
To get his point.
Maybe. Or maybe he thought that's what the Kolbo meant. You also have to remember that we have access to books today at lightning speed, at the touch of a button, that they didn't have any time in history before this. So sometimes they quote things that they saw once, right? They didn't have entire libraries unless you were a printer or very wealthy.
Burned or something.
Right. Right. And what you had could be lost. Right. So today, we have access to the Kolbo, and probably the... You know, we have access to like five versions of the Kolbo on the computer that they went back and compared it to the original printing of the Kolbo.
So you can see mistakes.
Right. But, you know, he didn't have any of that. Maybe he had a Kolbo, maybe not. Maybe he heard that that's what the Kolbo said. Maybe he saw it once and then thought that's what he said. So we have sometimes better information. Now, that doesn't mean we change the halacha. But sometimes we have better information. They didn't have libraries filled with books.
Did you call it scribal error?
Yeah, they had scribal errors, sure. All the time.
I was asking the Shabbos table where the husband had a terrible speech impediment, and it was very difficult for him to say Kiddush
right.
or anything else. And the wife sent him along with him
mm-hmm.
so that it came across clearly to the rest of the people.
Right.
There were other men that could have said it, but, you know, since he was the host, or they were the host, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So they were following the halakha.
Right. Yeah. Or even not to say it along. Course, so far, she could say it by herself, but we'll see that there's a couple of provisos.
It might be more embarrassing now when you think about it. You know, we've got a bunch of guests, and usually the man at the head of the table says it, so it could be more embarrassing
right.
if she said it.
There we go. So that's
what about
right.
the halacha of everybody saying, everybody present saying it together in unison?
Saying it together. Oh, that's interesting.
I've heard that. I shouldn't say that. I have heard how people do, I haven't seen it inside, but I've heard that there are places that do that.
Is there any problem?
Not according
probably
to
not.
This.
Why would there be?
Everybody
probably
knows.
Not.
I mean, no, if you want to make your
there's
own kiddush,
no
you don't have to together. You don't have to all go around the room and have five kiddushes.
Right.
As long as you didn't sing it, because the singing might be a problem.
Singing could be an issue.
So you don't have to sing it, just say it.
No, I
right.
know. But in group, when you're group singing, you don't know.
Right.
Could be.
Depends on how big
get a loud guy.
It depends on how big
right.
your group
is.
Right, because this is saying you are obligated to either do it or be yotze someone who is
right.
doing it, right?
Right.
That's what it's saying.
Right.
As a man or as a woman.
Right.
So you can either say it together with everyone else.
Right.
You're not doing it together with them. You're saying it yourself. Everyone just happens to be saying it at the same
right.
time.
Right. Oh, yeah, I've heard that. That
right.
you could say it in a whisper while
yeah.
the person's saying it.
So Sarah's kind of bringing up a point. Is there a coley shot issue with a woman saying Kiddush?
Could be. Well, that's... We're not going to see that. It's funny. With everything we're about to see, reasons why it may not... No one quite says that.
Well, she's not singing
right.
it, so what's the difference?
You don't have
you
to sing
it.
You're
yeah,
not
yeah.
to sing
you don't have
it.
To sing
you don't
it.
Have
to
sing it.
Nothing that says
it,
you have to sing.
Right. I guess we would assume she's not singing it. Or maybe we're assuming there's no guests to foreshadow what we're about to see. It might be different if there are guests.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
we're
so
gonna see.
Point.
Oh yeah, we're gonna see. So where do we go from there? So we had a Gemara. Oh, this is,
oh.
It's
like it's just one.
Oh, it's
feels
two.
Like,
no,
oh.
I think I did two.
There are flies here.
Nice.
keep the people.
They
keep, yes, feel included.
That's a male.
I feel like I'm in a sukkah.
You have one on your hat.
I think it's just one.
Go like this.
No.
Do the Obama thing. And just so where do we go from there? So the Gemara said women are obligated in Kiddush. The Beit Yosef / Shulchan Aruch, same person, said that they can be mostly a man. We got that from the Kolbo, although the Kolbo doesn't say that the same way. Wow.
It's like a really...
Just to do it already.
Did anybody catch
it? Is it paying to be... Okay. Yeah. So now we can see the Mishneh Berurah because we know it's in Shulchan Aruch Orach Chaim. So let's see the Mishneh Berurah. Source 6. All right, source 6, Mishneh Berurah, right? Like we have over here, it's a commentary.
Okay, how would we know that that would be the next place to go?
Because
yeah.
The clue is
where
because
is it
is because we saw the Shulchan Aruch and we saw that it was Orach Chaim.
So we know the Mishneh Berurah is going to have something to say about it.
Right,
so
we know them exactly.
Back a little bit.
Yes.
Back to the beginning.
Yes, exactly.
For clarification.
Yes.
Because
yes.
Now we need to know what
wasn't
to do.
Anywhere else to go but backwards.
We can go, right. So now we can see the commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch. There's many. Mishneh Berurah is one. We can see the Aruch HaShulchan, which we won't, but you could do that.
Because it says Seif Katan Dalet.
Right.
Eifel.
Ah. That's the dollar you asked me about.
Ah.
So let's see. So in the Shulchan Aruch, which is over here,
I thought so. Okay.
As we're learning, I see that there's a dollar in parentheses.
Wait,
where is it?
This one next to the green arrow.
Next to the word, next to the green arrow.
Yes.
There's a green, right? So that, so there's a dollar in parentheses. Up here. Dollar in parentheses. That is a reference to a Mishneh Berurah commentary on the same page. But don't get so attached. Every edition is different.
Yeah,
in this case, that matches up with the Mishneh Berurah. It's not always. It's just a matching thing. You just match what's the most similar.
Wait,
why
is the dalet on the green line?
Yes.
Right there, that dalet.
Right.
Yes.
So why is the dalet, why is the green line pointing down?
Oh, because those words in the Shulchan Aruch aren't.
That's what we're gonna.
Yeah, no, we saw it. Those words in the Shulchan Aruch are discussed not in the Torah, but in the Beit Yosef, next to the Torah.
Point to the Beit Yosef, which was in number 4 on the next.
See, the source for the beginning of the Shulchan Aruch, the red arrow, is in the Torah, and the source for the blue words in the Shulchan Aruch are also in the tour, but the green arrow, right, is not in the tour.
Are it you pointing to a specific word or just a section?
Well, the
point?
Section.
Oh, you're
yeah.
pointing to the section.
Yeah, to the
not
section.
A specific word.
Yeah, the section, exactly. Right, because I'm pointing out to you that those words in the Shulchan Aruch were not in the tour. That's why the green arrow couldn't point you to the tour.
Because
it's not there, but it's in the Beit Yosef. That's why the Shulchan Aruch is a shortened version of both the Torah and the Beit Yosef.
But if we were reading this and we didn't have you copying and pasting and cutting this
right.
at the bottom with the green arrow,
right.
we would be looking at this and seeing the Dalet and go, oh, Dalet, Mishneh Berurah, and
right.
we'd go open a Mishneh Berurah
exactly.
and we'd be over here.
Exactly, exactly right.
In this book.
Exactly, yes.
So are you saying the Dalet always refers to the Mishneh Berurah?
I'm saying that things in parentheses do.
All
letters,
okay.
letters in parentheses.
In this version,
in this version.
Last class, but it's, we didn't remember.
That's okay. That's why we're. That's why we have the next.
What is this version?
Sorry, we're still here. Well, so this is a nice version of Mishneh Berurah, and you can see that dalid, right on the top of the page,
right.
matches with a dalid somewhere over here, which is dalid.
Also,
wait,
in
letters
parentheses.
In parentheses.
What?
Mishneh Berurah.
Yeah. See, now
yeah,
we're going back.
Going
it's
backwards.
Like the,
yeah, yeah.
The, it's like the
yeah. We saw the Torah in the Beit Yosef. Now we say, okay, I want to see the Mishnah Berurah on that.
Even though it's 300 years later.
Yeah. He'll tell us if it's true, or do we still agree with that? No, it is. You're right. It's exactly right. The Mishnah Berurah is written 1900, 400 years later. But it's
so I think what Evelyn is asking is when this was originally written, it obviously could not have had a reference.
It was
to the
no
Dalit.
Absolutely correct. Absolutely correct.
And then what does the Dalit stand for?
There was no.
There was no.
There
was
no.
Then why did they put the Dalit in? You mean that they added the
Dalit
later?
Yes.
Yes.
It's an
overlay. Yes.
Someone else added it.
Correct.
Oh,
correct.
This is not the Torah. This is something
right.
that people.
Right. Right.
Thank God for those women.
I get it. The original Gemara didn't
right.
have the Dalit.
Originally, the Shulchan Aruch only had, right, this. Now it's a million commentaries. No letters. No.
Wow.
Now you've got all these commentaries.
Oh,
as they've been added, the page has been changed.
And
more.
They put them back in.
Yes. And more reference letters have been added to the Shulchan. Same with Gemara. Of course, there was no Rashi yet.
So sort of like
out.
You're looking at Chumash.
Mm-hmm.
And there's going to be a footnote for something that was written 1,100 years or 3,000 years later.
Correct.
Right.
Okay. Exactly right. Exactly
that's
right.
A basic concept.
So
yeah,
as new commentaries are added to the page, more references to them
right,
are added
sure.
on the top of the page.
I think it's because the whole thing looks so old. It's hard to get.
Yellow.
I mean,
look
I mean,
at the pages.
Yeah.
They're yellow.
I mean, the whole thing is seems
like
from
yellow.
A long time ago. So
yeah.
We lose the sense of the layering of the...
Yeah.
Okay.
That's
yeah.
why
yeah.
we take it in this class.
There you go.
Yeah.
So the Dalit, in this case, matches with the Mishnah Berurah. It's a matching letter. Okay. Says the Mishnah Berurah in source 6.
Brilliant.
Okay. Umotziyot et ha'anashim. And they can fulfill the obligation for men. That's what the Shulchan Aruch said. That's a Dibur HaMatzchil. Now the Mishnah Berurah says, V'chein hiskimu, and that is also agreed to by the Taz, that's a commentary on Shulchan Aruch. Umagein Avraham, another commentary on Shulchan Aruch. V'hagra, and the Gra, another commentary on Vilnagon. Husha'ar Achronim, and other later authorities, Achronim, right? Pretty reliably sourced. Right, doing pretty well. Mikol makom, but in any case, still, nevertheless.
Does it mean nevertheless?
Nevertheless. No. Nevertheless, yesh lahachmir, one could be stringent. L'chatchila. L'chatchila, at least initially. Right, so he's not, certainly not absolute, but you could be strict, at least ideally, initially. Shelo totsi isha anashim she'enam mi b'nei beita. Should not be yotzi, should not fulfill the obligation for men who are not of her household, guests.
Is this just men or is this woman as well?
Say the
men. Anashim she'enam, no, meaning
people.
Women should not say kiddush on behalf of men who
right,
are guests.
Right, but can she make kiddush on behalf of a woman who are guests?
Oh, I think so, because
okay.
He says men.
That's my question.
Dezila milta. Now, I would have assumed the reason could be what Evelyn was saying, because there's singing involved, or what it involves singing often, right? Kiddush is usually sung, or half sung, half chanted.
It's niut.
Right, it's niut. It's not quite what he says. He says dezila milta, because it is it's an embarrassing thing
for
the men. Right, and this also you guys realized. It's kind of embarrassing for the men, since for some reason men have been doing this pretty consistently for thousands of years. It would be embarrassing for the man to not do it, to have the woman do it. Now, if it's just your own family, you're not embarrassed in front of anyone.
Or it could be an extremely self-actualized man who's not embarrassed.
Okay. Correct.
But you have to ask him first, are you self-actualized?
Right.
And do you want to be Yotzi?
Yeah.
Well, I thought the Polish show was not an issue if you're saying a bracha.
I've not heard of that. But this is a little more than a bracha. Kiddush is longer than a bracha.
But wait, Kolisha is singing or Kolisha is...
Wait, we weren't on Kolisha.
Singing,
no,
right?
Well, he doesn't mention Kolisha, but
yeah.
You're saying what could potentially be the problem with Kolisha is singing.
Singing, right.
Yeah.
So this is not going to do with that. Right.
Well, unless, Kiddush is often sung.
But if it's not.
If it's not sung,
a
then it
voice,
wouldn't.
A speaking voice.
Right, if you say it in a speaking voice, I wouldn't be a problem
confused.
With that. But he says it would be embarrassing.
Okay.
If there's people. Now, where is he getting that from?
Good question.
So he says, but I, besides what he says here, Eliya Rabba, it's a commentary on Shulchan Aruch, but I think there's another place. So let's see. So let's go back. Remember he quoted the Taz on the
yes.
Magen Abraham?
Oh, yeah.
So let's see this.
Seven
and eight.
Where, so we find the Taz in the Mishnah Berurah?
No. So those are commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch.
Good question.
That are only in the big Shulchan Aruch with all the commentaries.
And who is the Taz?
So the Taz is the Magen Avraham, I know, is Rav Avraham Gumbiner. The Taz is, what was his name? The Turei Zahav. It stands for the Turei Zahav. So they're both 17th century commentaries. No, the Bachas are of the old circus. The Taz, don't remember the name. These are 17th century Ashkenazi commentaries on Shulchan Aruch.
Rabbi
Zalish?
Do
you remember what Taz stands for?
Turei Zahav.
David
Turei
Siegel?
Sure. Yeah, I think that's right. Yes.
You're amazing.
Zahav.
Turei Zahav.
Golden pillars.
Golden pillars. Turei Zahav.
Turei is one word.
Turei
Zahav.
Zahav.
Right, the Taz. Please call him the Taz. Taz, Magen Avraham, Shach.
Well, I've got a question here. So why are we even going to these guys? Because he said, Umikom Makom.
Right.
So he's like, disagree. It's like, yeah, we agree with them, but wait, but even more so.
And,
you know
but
I mean?
Nevertheless,
yeah.
It could be strict. Still worth seeing them. See, we'll see. We'll see.
So, how come one wouldn't just open up the Shulchan Aruch just at the very beginning and just go see all of this altogether?
One could.
Go
Mishnah Berurah is a little easier to read. As you saw, he quotes them anyway.
Mm-hmm.
He's kind of Shulchan Aruch isn't so original. He's really more of a compendium of these earlier Achronim
mm-hmm.
on the topic. So we don't need to see the Taz and the Magen because he quotes them. Still nice to see them, and you'll see that something comes out of seeing them. But you're right. In theory, if you want, you could open up the full-size Shulchan Aruch and learn all the commentaries, and then you'd pretty much have seen the Mishnah Berurah. But he's later, he brings them together, who does he quote, who does he not. He might give his own opinion or quote things we haven't seen. Okay. Says the Taz, Source 7. Af al gav, even though, divisiman tafresh peitet, even though in Shulchan Aruch, or Rachaim, chapter 689, pasak de Shulchan Aruch, the same guy, the Shulchan Aruch, makes a decision, de ein nashim motziyot anashim b'mikra megillah, that women cannot be motzi men, when it comes to Megillah on Purim. So now we have a new area of problem here. Afal gav shehem chayavot b'mikra Megillah, even though they are also obligated in Megillah. Right, see? Right. Right, why is that? And before we see his answer, just for fun, let's look at the Magen Avraham. We'll come back. But the Magen Avraham, source 8. Hiksha HaBach, source 8, the Bach.
How is it different?
Same, well, different person.
Mm-hmm.
The Bach, so the Bach is a commentary on the Torah.
Oh, here.
It's another commentary on the Torah. And he asks, Hiksha, Kasha, he asks a question. Also, Maishta mi Megillah. Why is this different than Megillah?
Where are you reading that?
Oh, source 8, beginning of source 8.
Oh, sorry, I thought we were
yeah.
at the Bach.
No, no. Well, we will. He quotes the Bach. Hiksha
HaBach.
Okay,
okay,
yeah,
okay, sorry.
That's
oh,
fine.
I see.
So the Bach asks the question, Mai Shnami Megillah Dein Motziyot. Why would this be different? Why would Kiddush be different than Megillah,
mm-hmm.
where women cannot be Motzi men
mm-hmm.
with Megillah?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, before we see his answer.
That seems like it could be Kolisha.
Maybe.
Because
that's definitely singing,
sure,
right?
Singing.
It's got to be singing. Right. Although I would say, yeah, but I would say not, because with Kiddush, there's one guy who should be saying it.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in shul, there's no one guy who's supposed to be saying it. That now there's a woman saying it, so you're embarrassed.
Oh, you mean
who's
say
embarrassed?
It in unison or something?
Or no one would say, if I'm not doing it, no one would expect me that I would.
Right, there's no one man who should have been doing it that there's a woman doing it.
Yeah, but
100 men in the room.
But there you were saying it's an embarrassing thing for the man who's not saying Kiddush, or for all the men at the table who are not saying Kiddush instead of...
All of them, but still only, you know who they are. The man of the hat. I mean,
okay.
There's one man or two men.
They
it's different than
they
being
are.
In a shul.
Two men
they know who they are.
Know.
What?
Two men of the house?
Let's not do that.
It could be the father.
Let's not go there.
Okay.
No, this is not with family. Because remember, it's not embarrassing if it's family.
Right. Remember we said, if it's only the family, it's fine, but if there's other guests there, they
shouldn't.
Tourist said
it was
okay. That's Mishnah Berurah talking about Kiddush.
Okay.
We'll come back to that.
Yeah,
we will. Let's see the Baal.
All right.
Commentary on the Torah, source 9.
So you're back on. Oh, you're on 9.
9,
right?
Yeah.
Wait,
okay.
What
okay.
happened?
I got it. He's
what
just
happened?
Reading the same
questions,
sentence
yeah.
in the beginning
just
of
yeah,
the
yeah.
one, and then
the
he's
question,
going to
we'll
read
come
the
back.
End that each one.
Exactly. Question, answer.
Great job, Sarah.
The Bach. Vizel Lashon HaKolbo. He quotes the Kolbo, which we saw. This is talking about Kiddush, right? We saw the Kolbo anyway. So let's go down near the end of the second line of source 9. Aval Gabe Megillah, but when it comes to Megillah, you see where I am? When it comes to Megillah, Siman Taf Resh Peitat, chapter 689, Katav V'Shulchan Aruch, Yesh Omrim Shehanashim Einan Motziot Hanashim. Some people say that women cannot be motzi men with Megillah. Okay, right. V'katav, and he's writing that about Megillah, Al pi divrei Baal Halachot Gedolot, a book called the Bahag, the Baal Halachot Gedolot, Shehevi Rabbeinu Lasham, which the Shulchan Aruch mentions over there, Hacholek Al Perish Rashi, which disagrees with Rashi, Shekatav, who writes, Shehanashim Motziyot and Haanashim, right, that women can be Motzi men, again about Megillah. So there's a shadow argument when it comes to Megillah. The Baal Halachot Gedolot, a book, says that women cannot be motzi men, Megillah, cannot fulfill their obligation. Rashi says yes. It's an argument. But the Shulchan Aruch over there says,
rules
like the Bahag, strict, that they cannot be motzi men with Megillah.
Just in case.
Right? And yet over here, with Kiddush, how is he ruling? Leniently, like Rashi, that they can. And he can't think of any reason to differentiate.
Hmm.
The Bach himself cannot think of any reason to differentiate. Go to the bold, we'll go down a little bit. Ulefia nios daiti. So it's, in my humble opinion, niret seems ikar, that the main thing would be lehachmir, bikidush, kumot b'megillah, to have the same chumra by Kiddush that you have by Megillah.
Just in case.
She'ein hanashim osiol hanashim, v'chein reiti shekatav marashal, and that's what the marashal says. So, he said... What?
Why is he saying that he can't distinguish between Kiddush and Megillah?
Why?
Just because he can't find a source that can make that distinction?
Why logically would you? If we know that the Shulchan Aruch... He says the Shulchan Aruch is being inconsistent, internally inconsistent, that he's being strict about Megillah, says the women shouldn't be motzi the men. He's being lenient about Kiddush. They should be.
So what gives him?
Could be.
So that he's going to be strict on both.
Correct. He says
what
it's a mistake.
The right
in
the, to do that?
Well, he says it's a mistake in the Shulchan Aruch.
Oh, I see.
That the Shulchan Aruch / Beit Yosef is forgetting what he himself says about Megillah.
Oh,
but
because he contradicted himself.
Exactly. Right. Same
so
person.
So when someone contradicts, you generally go stricter.
Yes.
These guys.
Yes.
Well, I'm asking.
Or.
That's a good thing.
Yeah. Well, you have to kind of weigh your options and figure out if it's, you know, yes. Or if you're the Taz or the Magen Avraham, you can come up with reasons to differentiate. The Bach says there's no possible differentiation. It's a mistake in the Shulchan Aruch, mistake in the Beit Yosef. We'll be strict on both. They're going to come up with... That's
the
Bach.
But the Bach before or after Taz and...
Before. In fact, the Taz is the son-in-law of the Bach. As we'll see in a minute, he says, my father-in-law.
So
not good for the relationship.
If you were a posek,
yes,
and you had someone like genuinely and earnestly asking you this, would you, as a posek, say, here's a majority opinion, here's a minority opinion, here's a what, you would be okay going either way because there's been these disagreements over the course of a few centuries? Or would you say, no, here's the final word?
Me personally, I'm not opposed to it. But
it
depends on, no, it depends on each person. It depends on each posek's methodology and psak.
But is it a legitimate methodology to say, here's a minority opinion, so here's a way forward?
Yes.
Sort of like the two-day versus one-day thing in Israel, where the majority is, if you come from America, do the two-day yontif.
Right.
But there's a minority opinion that says you can do the one-day yontif,
right.
So I'm going to go with that.
But you need to
that
like
that?
You need
our,
to
yes.
Some
I would say a responsible posek should weigh both possibilities, know who they're talking to, right? You have to know who the person is, what they're, you know, what they're really asking, you know, you have to know them a little bit, hopefully, and then you kind of figure out, is this someone who, you know, is looking to be strict? Is this someone who, you know, not that you should...
Where are they coming from?
But it's a legitimate methodology.
Yeah, it's a legitimate methodology in this case to say, yeah, you know, the Bach is strict, but we have these others that are lenient, including
Mishnah Berurah. Some people in their lives that have a lot of stress and they're trying to be strict to be closer to Hashem or whatever, to
okay.
Get rid of their source or to be something, you know what I mean? That there's
right.
A lot of reasons why people try to be strict.
Yeah, and
well,
people are on a journey, you have to know. Yeah, methodologically it would be fine. So, the Taz and the Magen Avraham know that the Bach, they both quote the Bach as being strict, but disagree with the Bach. Let's see why. So back to the Taz, back to source 7.
You were at the end of the third line.
Right, Afal Gav, even though they're obligated in Megillah, lo dami lakan. He says that's not similar to here. He says Kiddush and Megillah are not the same. Bach thought they were. He says they're not. Give a Megillah,
uh-huh.
Because when it comes to Megillah, yesh de'ot, there are opinions. De'ein l'nashim l'varech al mikra Megillah. That the bracha for Megillah, for women, is not al mikra Megillah. That they have to read the Megillah, ela al mashma Megillah. That they have to hear the Megillah. I think that's what we do here, the women say. Right, al mashma Megillah, right. Kamosha katav sham Beit Yosef. As the Beit Yosef himself says there. Even the Beit Yosef says.
Interesting.
When it comes to Megillah, that their brachot are not the same. That's why the women over the net. So he's not inconsistent. It's just that there's a difference because of the bracha. Al kein, therefore, bivadai, certainly, lo nachon, it's not good, shelechad chila yosod ha'anashim, that women should be motzi men with Megillah. Masha ein kein kan, which is not the same thing here. Hakol modim, everybody agrees, she'ein chiluk klal, bein anashim l'anashim. When it comes to Kiddush, he says there's no difference at all between women and men in terms of the bracha. It's not like men say Mikadesh HaShabbat and women make some other bracha in Kiddush. Lishmoa, you know, I don't know. Lechol Hagafen, I don't know. Al Kain Shapir Mosiyonet, so certainly they can be Mosi men, right? Very much forcefully agreeing that women can be Mosi men. Virashal.
No, he doesn't even say that.
That was the Mishnah Berurah. But he doesn't even say that, interestingly, right? He doesn't even say that. Virashal, we've mentioned the Umori Chami and my father-in-law, that's the Bach, Pasku Gam Khan De'ein Motziot, they say even here with Kiddush that women should not be Motzi men, Kemo B'Megillah, just like it is with Megillah, Ve'ein Zemuch Rachkal, but that doesn't make sense at all. He disagrees with his father-in-law.
Wonder what the relationship is like.
Maybe
well,
after
he disagrees
a
lot.
So.
Right, maybe he passed away. Yeah. No, you're right. Actually, Zal, Morichami Zal, my father-in-law of blessed memory. So that's true. I never noticed. So my father-in-law of blessed memory says that that they shouldn't. That Megillah is the same as Kiddush. You should be strict on both. He says that's not correct. So that's his way out. The bracha. Possibility.
Mm-hmm.
Now, would that bracha, different bracha, would that make any difference if there are guests?
Why would it?
No, why would it? Right, that's not a guest thing. Source 8. Hiksha HaBach. The Bach asks the question. Source 8. Mai Shna Megillah. We saw the Bach. Why would this be different than Megillah? Dein Motziyot, that they can't be Motzi the men? Kamosha Katav Simantar, like we say in later in Shulchan Aruch in chapter 689. Quotes the Bach and knocks the Bach down. Vishtamitite divrei hatosfot. the Bach forgot about, disregarded, the words of Tosfot in Sukkah, page Lamed Chet. Shakatzvu, the Tosfot say on in Gemara Sukkah, Kevan derabim heim, since there are a lot of people when you are laning Megillah, presumably, there's at least a minion. There's usually a lot of people there. Zilu behu milta, shatotzi amisha. There, it would be embarrassing for the men not to do it, where you have a whole crowd.
Not one single one can do it.
Right, I guess that's what he meant, that there's a whole crowd of people, no one can do it. So there would be zilu milta. Where have we seen those words before? Right. Zilu behu milta. Right, Kiddush, but not just Kiddush.
There's guests.
Kiddush with guests.
Because that's as if it's like a shul with people.
Right.
Like the Megillah.
So the Mishnah Brura quoting or making up this idea of when there's guests, women shouldn't be make Kiddush for men who are guests, or for the men who are there. I think he's getting that from this idea of Megillah, and he's assuming that he's agreeing with the Magen Avraham here, that the reason that you shouldn't, that the women shouldn't be motzi the men with Megillah, it's not this bracha thing.
Right.
It's that there's a lot of people. And when there's a lot of people, it's embarrassing. And that's what he says about when there's guests.
So
yeah.
I guess I can understand that because you've got a shul full of people, or 10 or 20, however
right.
many. Usually, before the time of the reading of the Megillah, someone spends a few weeks preparing
right.
for that, or a month or whatever.
Right.
It would be embarrassing if nobody remembered to prepare. I
right.
can understand that. But you could say the same thing. You got this little short kiddush, and you're going to have a Shabbos dinner, and nobody remembered to prepare. None of the men, I mean,
yeah,
remembered how to prepare. Is that what they're giving us?
Yeah, it seems like a different embarrassment.
Oh,
it
really?
Seems like in the kiddush case, and it never quite says, but my guess is in kiddush, the embarrassment is, as we said, that, you know, this guy doesn't know how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to the, not a preparation issue, it's just that he never learned Hebrew, whatever the story is.
The
he just doesn't know how to do it.
Nobody
husband.
Else,
the husband.
But none of the other men also know that?
Know
don't
what?
Know Hebrew? I'm saying that
right.
at this guest, at this table is what it would be.
It
it's
seems
embarrassing
like it.
To the men collectively.
Right. right. Seems like it's embarrassing
I guess
that.
In this day and age, with all the people that are Baltimore,
right.
it could happen, actually.
Could happen.
It probably happened to my husband.
This was
could
written.
Happen.
It could
happen. It could
this
happen.
Was written a long time ago, though.
Right. There were still people. You see, there were still
people
who didn't know how to do it.
Isn't that something else?
So if a woman knows how to do it, that's why it's embarrassing, because the woman knows, but the man doesn't know. Like, why would that be? Is
it's
that
a combination.
Yeah, that's like awfully fragile ego stuff. I mean,
but that is
we do have fragile egos.
Yeah, really. I think
right?
you're doing a great
fragile
job.
Fragile ego? Listen,
you're holding up very well.
As a species, you're doing a great job.
As a race, as a gender, thank you.
But can you take
even
these
though the Kova was a woman,
can you take these
things
separate like this? Because like there's another part of the Gemara that says if to embarrass someone is like killing them.
Right.
So if you take just this thing and you don't know that thing, then it makes you not want to be as careful with this. But if you know that other part, you know, like they're all intertwined is what I'm trying
yeah,
to say.
Yeah, you have
if
to know everything.
That embarrassing is like killing. Boy,
right.
you would not want to say kiddush if you're a woman because you'd be so fearful, you know what I mean?
That
you'd embarrass them.
Oh, that she's going to embarrass
the
guy.
Yeah.
Unless your husband was somebody.
Yeah, unless
you know
it's,
what
unless
I'm
it's more embarrassing for the guy. I mean, you have to know the situation.
Right.
You know, that's another thing that a posek, not just know these people, but a posek has to know what their situation is. You know, how embarrassing, who's going to be more embarrassed?
But I was just making
the
point
what
about
that
so
right.
many of these
the guy might prefer it. The guy might say, no, I'm less embarrassed if she says it. So that's,
it might be
that's
the woman who would be embarrassed, standing up outside
could
all his
could
men.
Could be too, right? Who's more embarrassed, right? So we'll end, but I just to go over the methodology of that, like what just happened procedurally. So you have a Gemara, right? So let's see. So the Gemara says that women are obligated in Kiddush because of Zachar and Shamor, right? We follow that down to the Shulchan Aruch, which quotes that, but then has this add-on line about not only that, but women can be mostly men, which we were not familiar with. The Gemara never said that. Baragola didn't help us out much. So the Beit Yosef, same guy that wrote the Shulchan Aruch, the Beit Yosef says, oh, I'm getting that from the Kolbo. So we looked up the Kolbo. The Kolbo says, well, sort of. The Kolbo says, yes, ish. Women can be mostly men-ish, if the men, literally, ish. If the if the men can't do it themselves. So that was kind of its own pausing point. But then we looked at the commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch. Mishnah Brura mentions that this is pretty above board. You can do it. Women can be mostly men. But he mentions that there's this Taz and Magen Avram. They mention, in turn, that the Bach is very strict because of Megillah, where the women can't be mostly the men, and the Bach can't see any reason to differentiate. If Megillah is strict, Kiddush should be strict. The Taz and the Magen Avram, which are both same page of Shulchan Aruch, right? Follow the references there, you know, the letters. And they both give reasons why there would be the possibility of differentiating, either because of the difference in bracha by Megillah, which doesn't apply in Kiddush, so we're strict in Megillah, not strict in Kiddush, or because also the bracha indicates that the mitzvah is different. The fact that it's not just the bracha. The bracha is trying to tell you something. Al Mikra Megillah is the mitzvah. That Al Mash Lishmoa Megillah, right, it sort of shows you that the mitzvah itself is different. Not only the bracha, but the mitzvah.
So if a woman reads a Megillah, she is not allowed to say Al Mikra Megillah. She can't say that.
Right, I think the women say Al Mashal Megillah.
Yeah,
I think that's what they do.
Okay.
I believe that's what they do. I believe that's what they do. And then the other possibility of why to differentiate is because in the case of Megillah, there is a lot of people. It's public.
Right.
Which is why that funny Mishnah Berurah said, that funny line of Mishnah Berurah, that when there's guests, they shouldn't do it. Right? Which sounded random, but not really. Because he's comparing it to Megillah, that we can only apply the Megillah reasoning if there's a lot of guests.
So, what's the bottom line?
Wow.
Rabbi.
Bottom line is you have a lot of legs to stand on that the women can make Kiddush for the man in a situation where there are no guests. I mean, I'm not opposed. I'm just looking at this sort of as myself. I would say that, right? That if I'm just reading this, I don't see any compelling reason to say that women shouldn't be motzi men in Kiddush, certainly if it's only their family. With guests, we have that chumrah based on Megillah, or it's public. But, you know, nothing there convinces me that it would be different.
It sounds very nuanced, because let's say, to use your example, you had a house full of guests of new Bali Tshuva who
right.
are learning Hebrew. They don't want to stumble through it. Please do
right.
it for us.
Right.
But then it wouldn't be embarrassing.
Yeah.
Right. It's not embarrassing.
Right.
You've checked it out and you know your audience.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you read the bottom line is for that you can apply in situations certainly like that, if not every week and maybe every week, certainly in situations like that, you have a lot of legs to stand on to say that women can do it, based on everything we saw, that it wouldn't
Rabbi
be embarrassing.
Meyer actually stands on a lot of those legs sometimes dealing with Kirov because he wants to encourage people to do stuff like say Kiddush. Not so picky about women versus men in the very, very beginning of their
right.
coming along.
Sure,
you know,
for sure. But why?
Worry about that kind of detail.
Right.
If
but do you
you're
even
grateful that they're saying Kiddush to begin with? You know what I mean?
Yeah. But
next class, August 7th?
Yeah, exactly. 2 weeks next week. So, but yeah, but even in a regular situation, nothing we saw would compel me to say.
No class
yeah.
next Monday night.
So
right, next Monday
night. Would that extrapolate to women doing the motzi?
No class here.
Yeah.
Right, next week's Tisha B'Av. You should come. It's Tisha B'Av.
It's gonna be fun.
It's gonna be fun. You should come.
And the occasion is a
holiday. Yeah. Motzi would be same. I would think it would be even easier to allow. You're not. It's just a bracha on.
Okay, and I'm gonna go over.
Right. I mean, it's not kiddush per se. I don't know. I have to think about that. Would that be? There's an idea that the same person who does one should do the other. I've heard that. But I don't know why it would be stricter than Kiddush.
That's homework.
Well,
yeah.
Shouldn't
Rabbi
Kursky
hold
by women saying, doing that soon?
I would think.
We have looked it up. Mm-hmm. That because for those reasons
mm-hmm.
that we just studied, so that if Because a woman is obligated to say amotzi. I don't know the flowchart of it,
mm-hmm.
but because she is, she can be motzi
so
other people.
Okay.
Same with Kiddush, right? That there's
so it's the same as Kiddush.
Yeah.
Right. We'd have to think what the obligation even is with Kiddush and.
Well, but Kiddush is different because you've got the obligation to say it either yourself or to hear it on behalf of someone else. Hamotzi, no, necessarily.
Hamotzi, everyone says.
Right, exactly.
Anyway.
No,
I mean, you can be your
not.
Theory.
Yeah,
surely
yeah,
not.
No, absolutely, but...
But it's not like... but it's not like...
Oh, I see, you're saying everyone can
right.
say it on their own role.
You're obligated
right.
to say it if you're by yourself, and you're obligated to hear it if someone else
So if a woman does it and you don't feel comfortable with the woman saying it, you just say it yourself before
okay.
you...
Okay.
Right.
Could you say that about Kiddush?
No, because that's different, because... If a woman does it, you mean?
Yeah.
Feels a little more public for some reason.
I don't know. I would never like
really
to do Amotsi in front of same kind of thing. I would be embarrassed. Maybe it's back to the embarrassment. I mean, there's like people and they
well,
all...
You know, it's interesting. The obligation of Kiddush is kind of funny. Because on the one hand, in an absolute sense, the obligation of Kiddush is greater, is more. Right? On the other hand, there are so many other ways to do Kiddush. Men have already said it, and many women have heard it at shul. You could make Kiddush by saying, you know, today is Shabbos, right? Suddenly you did Kiddush, you were Mekadesh the day. So on the one hand, it's stricter, but on the other hand, it's lenient because you can do it in the same way you can say, Baruch Hamavdil Ben Kodesh L'chol, right? And then you did Havdalah, right?
So you don't have to drink the wine?
You do,
oh.
but that's a rabbinic form of Kiddush. On a Torah level, you can say Kiddush by saying Kachabas. In fact, the Shulchan Aruch says elsewhere, the Rambam also says, you can fulfill your obligation of Kiddush by saying Kachabas. Because you just said a Shabbos, right? You were Mekadesh the day.
So any guy can do that.
Do you think that...
Which
like,
is why, but that's why I'm saying, that's why you can be more lenient when it comes to who says Kiddush.
Because it already can be said.
Yeah, because you already did Kiddush. Everyone said Kachabas. But motzi, exactly. But
and
motzi,
then you need to have the two loaves
right,
as well.
Right, shtei lachem, if that lachem mishnah, if that matters.
You're saying motzi is stricter. How motzi
so
is stricter?
It might end up being stricter, because that's the only way it can be done, as opposed to Kiddush, which, in an absolute sense, it's strict, but, you know, you can say
so
it...
So you have to be you have to be yotze by somebody who's doing hamotzi, is what you're saying. Because there's a lecha mishnah, so you can't say it yourself, because you have to, right?
You have to say again. The
so you have to be your, in order
Shabbos
to do on Shabbos, in order to do a motzi,
right?
You need to have the two loaves of bread,
sure.
Right?
Right.
So and at my house, I don't know about your house, but my house there's only two loaves of bread on the
mm-hmm.
table. Not everyone who's got two
right.
loaves.
Correct.
So the one person who's doing it has to say it.
Oh, so you're saying that would be a higher level of obligation.
Yeah.
I've got to make sure it's the right person.
Thank you.
Could be. Right, so there are reasons,
right.
There's other reasons to be stricter about the challah, about
the
thank
about you.
The
so do you think that, so for example, Rashi, who had only daughters, and he's saying it's fine for women to make Kiddush, do you think they actually,
point.
You know, did at his house? I mean, the people,
maybe.
You know, who...
Well, no, he's talking about Megillah. I'm not sure what Rashi says. Rashi was leaning about Megillah.
Oh, he was talking about Megillah?
Yeah, Rashi.
But I mean,
that's the shadow of
anyone who was lenient about that, do you think? I mean, it must be that they experienced it rather than just.
But then the daughters got married and they had.
Right.
They're often
amazing sons-in-law. Right.
They're often hypothetical.
They're often.
I mean, Rashi. First of all, especially Rashi, he's talking about a Gemara somewhere. I don't even know where that Gemara is. But Rashi. Yeah. Rashi, as a halakhic authority, is tricky because he's really a commentary on Gemara, but the way that he explains will often come into the halakha. We'll determine or will. So that's what we saw with, what was it? We mentioned case of singing music after the Bein HaMikdash. And the Rashi says that Gemara is talking about public places, bars, taverns, inns. So that became halachic because in his explaining the Gemara, he's saying that applies in that situation, bars and taverns. But that's, is he being a halachic authority? So I don't, I have to, he might be explaining the Gemara without the Gemara itself being even the final opinion. The Rashi explains the whole Gemara.
We wouldn't necessarily hold by him.
Right. He might, because he's a commentator, he might be explaining a line of a Gemara that isn't even the final halacha in the Gemara.
Yes.
In which case, I don't. In which case, his opinion is not useful because he's not telling us. He's just explaining the Gemara. It's like if I, explained why the South before the Civil War thought there should be slaves. I don't think there should be slaves. I'm just explaining them. I can explain someone's opinion without thinking it.
Uh-huh.
And so he can explain the Gemara without necessarily thinking that that's true halachically. He's just explaining one line of Gemara. So we'd have to see that Gemara. Maybe he's explaining a line that is the final halacha in the Gemara. We just have to see that Gemara.
Okay.
And the Rashi.
Okay, great. Thank you.
The Debach thinks it's a lot of so.
Okay.